Please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17, and we come to look at our second in the series of lessons on holy living. There's a story about four retired preachers. I don't know if that looks anything like the retired preachers that we have worshipping with us in Bristol Hockle or not. But there's a story about four retired preachers who are discussing the merits of various different translations of the Bible. One of them liked the King James Version the best because he said that it is simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it was closer, he said, to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked a contemporary version because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister, however, remained fairly silent through the whole conversation. But eventually, when the others had finished, he offered his viewpoint. And he said, "I like my mother's translation the best." Well, the three friends looked at him strangely and said, "Did your mother study Hebrew and Greek? We didn't know that she had done any sort of a translation of the Bible." He says, "No, none of that. But what she did was that she translated the Bible into her life. And it was the most convincing translation that I ever saw." I like that. Because to me that speaks about what sanctification is in the life of a believer, where we are becoming more and more like the Christ that we read of in Scripture. And I wonder, for those who are Christians today, can that be said of you? The very word Christian means Christ-likeness, or to be like Jesus Christ. And I wonder, when people look at your life and at mine, do they say that he or she is like the Lord Jesus Christ? Now let me state right at the beginning that there is a difference between justification and sanctification. Now, for those of you who have been a Christian for a long time, this will be wee buns for you, and you'll say, "What on earth is he explaining all of that for?" But just bear with me, because even I found it useful working through these definitions again this week. So there is a difference between them, other than that one begins with the letter J and the other one begins with the letter S. There are other differences between them. Justification is the reckoning of a man to be righteous in the eyes of God due to the finished work of Calvary. You see, the moment that I ask Jesus to forgive me for my sins, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to my life. And now, if you like, God looks at me through the filter of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he no longer sees my unrighteousness, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is being declared righteous or not guilty. Even though the sad reality is that we are guilty. But Jesus took the guilty verdict himself. So justification is about being made right in the eyes of God. Sanctification, on the other hand, is the actual making the man righteous inwardly. So justification says that as God looks at me, he sees me as right. But sanctification is that work of righteousness actually beginning to take effect in my life, me becoming like Jesus Christ. So justification is a finished and complete work. We cannot add anything else to what Jesus Christ has done for us in that moment of salvation. Whereas sanctification is an ongoing work that will never be complete until we are made perfect at the return of Jesus Christ. Justification admits of no growth or increase in that a man is just as much justified whenever he is first converted as he is whenever Jesus Christ calls him home. We cannot become more justified. But sanctification is a progressive work, bringing about more growth the longer a Christian lives. So therefore we must become more sanctified in our living. Justification gives us our title deed to heaven. Sanctification, on the other hand, actually does the work of preparing us for heaven. To prepare us that we may enjoy it when we get there. So that we become increasingly like the people of heaven. So that's a few of the distinctions between justification and righteousness and sanctification. And you're all still with me, aren't you? I'm really not convinced. You're all still with me, are you? Good. So whilst I say that there are these distinctions, there are certain likenesses as well. They both begin at the same time. The moment somebody is justified, sanctification begins to work in their lives from that moment on. It is impossible to be justified without the process of sanctification taking place, and it is impossible to be sanctified without justification having happened first. So the two of them are utterly essential. And they're both the work of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit within the lives of believers. That, by the way, is my introduction. And I've got that bit out of the way. 2 points I want us to think about today. And the first one is longer than the second one, just to warn you. First thing we're going to look at is the character of sanctification. Look with me at verse 17. This is Jesus here praying to the Father on behalf of the disciples, and he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And sanctification is that inward spiritual work which the Lord Jesus Christ works in a person by the Holy Spirit. When the Lord calls that person to become a true believer, that's when this process starts in us. So that Christ not only washes us by his blood, but he also separates us. And that's what it means. You may wonder how it is at the end of the passage that we read. We read Jesus there saying in verse 19, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Well, Jesus never had sin in his life, so how can he become more holy? But sanctification means being set apart. And what Jesus is saying is that he was set apart to be different in the same way that we need to be set apart to be different. You see, that's the problem, isn't it? That so often as Christians, we feel we need to be like the world in which we live. We need to go to the sort of places that they go to. We need to say the same sort of things that they say, to live the same sort of life that they live. But sanctification is about being set apart for Jesus Christ or for God and his glory. And what happens is when we become a Christian, Jesus Christ puts a new principle within our hearts. So rather than a principle that says, I'm going to live for me and for myself and for what I can get and what I can enjoy, and this new principle says that I'm going to live for God and his glory. That's what we were made for at the beginning. But it's only at that process of justification, or that time of justification, that this new process begins to take effect. So often whenever people talk to us about salvation, they think of that moment whenever they became a Christian. And for many of us, we very often will say to people, well, you know, I'm saved. And I became a Christian on such and such a date and such a place. And here was what happened. And isn't that fantastic? And you see, whenever the minister calls and you share with the minister about when you became a Christian, or if you're not a Christian, oh, well, that's very helpful because it lets me know where I need to work from, or lets Ian know where he needs to work from. and that's lovely. But the problem is that for many people, that's where they stop. They stop at that moment whenever they become a Christian. And they don't look at how they should be developing and growing and maturing and deepening in their faith. But the point is that justification and sanctification are to be seen together. One is one end of the process and the other is the other, or the remainder of the process. Listen to the scriptures on this. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified. Paul says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. And again, Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And if these words mean anything, they show us that as Christ is involved in the process of justification, so he also is involved in the process of sanctification in the lives of believers. So what is sanctification then? Well, it's a number of things. It's about fruit bearing. Two chapters before this, in John 15, we read this beautiful picture of what it is to be a Christian, that we have been engrafted into the vine. And we are reminded there, he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And the branch that bears no fruit, we are told, is not a living branch of the vine and needs to be cut off and consumed in the fire. So whenever we are united with Christ, it's not an option that there is no effect produced in our heart. If we are engrafted into the vine, we need to be those who are fruit bearing. In other words, Christianity isn't about mere formalism, which is worthless before God, but it's about being alive in Christ. It's about sharing our faith with others. It's about living our life out in front of them that they may see Jesus Christ through us. So let me ask you, are you bearing fruit for Christ? It's about fruit bearing. And it's about indwelling. Sanctification is the only certain evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit never lies dormant and idle within the soul. Now, we've had a fair bit of wind the past couple of days, or so a couple of days ago, I guess. And how did you know that it was windy? Well, you saw the trees moving, didn't you? Those of you with trampolines probably saw the trampolines moving. Those of you who were out working in the garden, you'll have seen the leaves that were blown down, didn't you? So we see the effects of the wind. How do we know if someone is a Christian? Well, we see it in their conduct. We can hear it in their speech. It is obvious to us that indwelling in their lives is the Holy Spirit. And he is working out through their lives. And where there is no holy living, there is no Holy Spirit. But we also see this character of sanctification in what I've called growth by degrees. Growing by degrees. A person may climb one step at a time in sanctification, and sometimes it may be a step backwards, because we allow ourselves to be led away from God's truth for whatever reason. But still, if you look at their lives, there is this constant upward motion. It's kind of like watching a child climbing the stairs. Those of you who are parents of young children You'll know what it's like whenever you see them climbing the stairs. And in those early days, your heart's sort of in your mouth, particularly the higher up the stairs they go. But they sort of take one tottering step and then another, and then they take a step back. Isn't that right? And you wonder if they're going to roll right back. And then they take three steps forward and two steps back, and that's what it is. But what you find is that they're getting a little further on each time. And you look at that same child a month later, 2 months later, and you find that they're going up those stairs much more easily. And that's what it is, sanctification within our lives. It is moving forward so that if it were possible for us to look back and measure it, that we can see this growth by degrees within our lives, that things have moved forward. And sometimes it's not even what we see in ourselves, but it's what others see in us. Is this sort of growth evident in your life? And then there's studying the scripture. Verse 17, we're reminded, your word is truth. And sanctification depends greatly on scriptural means. And we need to be those who love spending time in God's word, who love spending time in private prayer with God, who love being at the place of public prayer, who love hearing God's word. There was a man sitting at our table yesterday, and he said that for a while, when he used to go to church, he used to fall asleep during the sermons. He's not from here, clearly. And his wife said to him, I want you to take a spoonful of coffee before you leave every morning. And he did. He says he never fell asleep again. So I'm going to suggest maybe two or three spoonfuls of coffee for you all before you come out. But his desire, in other words, was that he would be awake and stay awake and apply what he heard through the sermon. And that's a sign of growth, this desire to study scripture and pleasing God. Sanctification can't justify a man, and yet sanctification pleases God. The holiest actions of the holiest saint are all tainted by sin and imperfection, and yet the Bible says that God is pleased by our attempts to glorify Him. Hebrews 13 verse 16 says, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In Colossians 3 verse 20 we read, obey your parents. Why? For this is well pleasing to the Lord. So when we do these things in our lives, when we become more and more like Jesus Christ, when we immerse ourselves in scripture, when we live out our faith, this is pleasing to God. And it prepares us for heaven. J.C. Ryle said, most men hope to go to heaven when they die, but few, it may be feared, take the trouble to consider whether they would enjoy heaven if they get there. You can imagine a man who hates shopping. Well, that might be really hard to imagine. Do any of you men here hate shopping? This is the way they're putting their hands up at the minute. Worried that their wives will notice. I have seen you men. And I feel your pain. But imagine a man who hates shopping, and he's taken and he's placed in the largest shopping center in the world, and there is no exit. Okay? Some of you men are perspiring at the thought. The hairs have stood up in the back of your necks, and you feel this sick feeling in the pit of your stomach at the thought of that eternal shopping. Wouldn't that be dreadful? Sheer torture. And so it would be ludicrous thinking of someone who is not sanctified, who could live eternity in a place like heaven. If you've no desire for the things of God, If you enjoy the conversation of this world rather than the conversation of believers, well then how do you think you're going to fit into heaven where we're talking about God and praising God for all eternity? So sanctification is part of the process of getting us ready for our eternal home. Is an eagle happy in a cage? Is a fish happy out of water? And so the unsanctified man would find heaven extremely uncomfortable. The character of sanctification. And lastly, the evidence of sanctification. President Calvin Coolidge once invited some friends from Vermont to dine at the White House. They were a little worried about their table manners, and so they decided to do everything that their host, the president, did. All went well until it came to coffee at the end. And they didn't realize that Coolidge had this bizarre practice. Whenever they would come round with coffee at the end, he would have it poured into his cup, and then he would pour the coffee onto his saucer, and then he would add sugar, and he would add milk to the mix. And so the people from Vermont decided to copy their president. They too got their coffee in their cup. As the president took it and poured it onto the saucer, so did they. As they saw the president add sugar, so did they. As the president added milk, so did they. And then the president took it and set it down on the floor for the cat. And we talk about being like Christ, but how are we to be like Christ? Does it mean looking like the pictures we see that are supposed to resemble Jesus Christ? Not at all. We misunderstand if that's how we think, but it is seeking to live like Christ, to talk in the way that Jesus would have talked, to love people in the way that Jesus loved people, to love the scriptures in the way that Jesus loved the scriptures, to pray in the way that Jesus prayed. These are ways in which we can be like Christ. Well, let's be more specific. How can we be like Christ? What is the evidence of someone who is like Christ? Well, they are authentic. It's possible to go to church for long enough that you start to pick up the stock phrases and even begin to use them. I find that I had been in Bucknell long enough that I learned some of their phrases. Whenever it came to prayer meetings, sometimes I heard them use my phrases. And that's really frightening. And that's one of the things that we do, isn't it, by nature. I'm starting to learn some of the ahocalisms. And I hope that you're not learning any of my Belfastisms. But that's what happens, isn't it? And it's possible to go to church and to learn to speak like a Christian, to dress like a Christian, to look like a Christian and behave like a Christian. But the thing is this, that eventually the truth that your heart is not owned by Christ will become obvious for others to see. We need to be authentic. That what we show on the outside is the reality of what has happened in our hearts. And we need to be consistent. True sanctification doesn't consist in temporary religious feeling. In his prayer in John 17, Jesus is praying that the Father would keep the disciples true to his word. He wanted them to be kept. And mission services and revival meetings around the world may attract thousands of people at a time with large numbers who are going forward to supposedly come to faith. But the problem is that sometimes there's more hype and sound than authentic Christianity. J.C. Ryle again said, when the devil is only temporarily cast out of a man in the heat of a revival and by returns to his house, the last state becomes worse than the first. I declare I know of no state of the soul more dangerous than to imagine we are born again and sanctified by the Holy Spirit because we have picked up a few religious feelings. So we need to be consistent. It needs to be authentic. And we need to be alive. The flip side of the emotional coin is those who see Christianity as mere formalism, a mere form of words, attending church services, receiving the Lord's Supper, wearing the right clothes, carrying the right Bibles. But they're dead inside. There's no life there at all. An external righteousness is no substitute for inward holiness. And those who are sanctified or being sanctified are also involved. Verse 18 says, I have sent them into the world. Sanctification doesn't call for our removal from our place in life. Hundreds of hermits have buried themselves in the wilderness, and thousands of men and women have closed themselves away in monasteries and abbeys, and the Amish community has closed itself away from the outside world. But they have forgotten that no bolts and bars can keep the devil out. They think that entering into such places will make them eminently holy. But temptation doesn't come primarily from without, but it comes from within. Because even though we're saved by grace, we're still sinners. So the man who hides himself in a cave is someone who is wasting what God has given them to do. God wants us to be witnesses in this generation, to live out for him, to be different for Christ. The one who is serving the Lord and his family, his work, his community, is the one who is showing signs of sanctification in his heart. And lastly, they are loving. Jesus declared, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. A sanctified man or woman will try to do good in the world to lessen the sorrow and to increase the happiness of those around them. That we will love first of all God, and then we will love our fellow man. And the sanctified person lives a life of self-sacrifice for the glory and honor of God. Let me ask you today, can that be said of you? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ in what you think and what you say and what you do? Or has there been no progress, no development within your heart? Maybe today the issue for you is not the one of sanctification, but the one of justification. And you've never yet asked Jesus to forgive you for your sins. You know that you need to. What's holding you back? Why not ask Jesus to forgive you today? Let him do his work within your heart. The work of justification is his, and the work of sanctification is his. And one day the work of glorification will also be his, when he takes his people home to be with him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we realize that when we are justified, that is not to be the end. And yet sometimes as Christians, we run the risk of thinking that it's all about that day and hour when we trusted in Jesus Christ. And we forget about this process of sanctification. And we ask today that you would do that work in our lives each and every day. Make us more like Christ. Sharpen our consciences so that we can see where we fail you better. Help us, Lord, to realize that as you have begun a good work in us, so you will carry it on to its completion. Hear us now. Draw those without Christ to the Savior. This is your work for your honor and your glory alone. Through Christ we pray. Amen.